5 o'clock, and the Warwick City Council Finance Committee meeting is called to order. So we need motion to accept the minutes of the meeting held on October 19th.
I'm going to abstain from that. I was not at that meeting.
Councilman
motion
Howard?
To accept.
We have a motion to accept. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We have two yays and one abstention. Just a reminder, Councilman McAllister, you have to do the abstention form. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You're not recusing. You're just abstaining because you weren't at the meeting, right? Okay. Okay. First item is PCO 100-20. It is item 2020-094 found on page one, and that is maintenance and repairs for ice arenas.
James Scott, Parks and Recreation Department. Hello, Mr. Chairman. Hello, Councilman.
Hello, James. How are you?
Not bad. The Parks and Recreation Department is requesting under section 612 to increase the cap on the bid with North Star Refrigeration by $40,000 to a total of $122,000. At a previous meeting, we had requested an increase, an extension of the contract. We had not requested monies that meeting because I was kind of playing ahead, trying to see what we needed as far as emergency repairs and triage of maintenance that had been not performed in previous years.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? James, I have a few questions. I actually have some pretty significant concerns with this company. So who is responsible for verifying the qualifications of contractors that are coming into city property? And who is responsible for verifying that they have insurance and that they're registered with the Secretary of State, et cetera?
I have all the information. I can scan and send it to you in the morning, but I have all their licenses. I have their info, Secretary of State, I have their insurance.
Oh, that's not the question I asked though. The question I asked is who is responsible for acquiring that information from a vendor?
I do know that when, I don't want to speak for purchasing, but when they approve bids, they receive the insurance and letter of good standing with the bid package, I would assume.
Who oversees the activities, performance, et cetera, of the contractors that are working on city property? In this particular case, at the ice arena, who oversees North Star Refrigeration?
That would be me, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
North Star Refrigeration has a bid to do maintenance on the compressors at the ice rink.
Mm-hmm.
It's a specific machine that exists like in and of itself, and they had the bid to do that maintenance on there. They're in their second year. There's another company that had the bid before that, and I'm assuming the previous manager or parks director would oversee that work as well.
Okay. Are you familiar with the work that was done somewhat recently at the rear ice rink by North Star Refrigeration?
Work at the, they were worked on the ice compressors recently, yes.
So how is it that the contractor was working there without a permit?
Well, Mr. Chairman, they have a bid to do that work. May I question, do we have a whole history of permits that were issued for the HVAC maintenance people that worked on the compressors before?
I couldn't tell you that. It's not my job to oversee them. What I'm asking about is that particular repair by this particular company that you're looking to extend their bid. And when we look at these bidders, one of the things that is important is the lowest responsible bidder. So my question is, how did it come to be that this contractor was discovered working over there without a permit?
Mr. Chairman, I've seen nothing. I see no requirement that there has to be a permit pulled to do maintenance on the machine. Do we have, I mean, if I have somebody come in, so we need, this is a separate machine. They're not running electrical wire through the building. They're not building an addition on the building. They have a bid to work on this specific machine. And that bid's been in place since long before my time with the city.
You say they have a bid in place for a specific machine? That's it?
Just the, the compressors at the ice rink are machines and they keep the ice moving. There's the compressor, there's a glycol pump. So it's my understanding that with that bid, they're allowed to work on those particular machines.
Well, it's my understanding that to do that work, it required a permit and there was no permit taken out. That's my understanding. And perhaps you should check into the building code and see if that information is accurate, because this came from a very reliable source. And the other thing that concerns me is that at the time that work was going on in that rear ice rink, that North Star Refrigeration's insurance had lapsed. How is it that they were working in a city building without insurance, particularly on something as valuable as that piece of machinery was? They were working in that building with a lapsed insurance policy. How did that happen?
Their insurance policy was not lapsed, it turned out. I can send that to you. It was my understanding when a entity is awarded a bid, they send the insurance to the purchasing office. So if that's not the process, then I will directly ask for the insurance from every bid that we award. But in the past, it's come over with a package from purchasing.
Well, when a bid is received, part of the qualifications of a responsible bidder is that they have insurance.
And I agree with you on that, sir.
Okay. And as I understand it, when an inspection was conducted at the time that work was going on, the insurance certificate had lapsed. So if they're working on city property or any property for that matter with insurance that has lapsed, there is the potential for no coverage.
Now, I don't know that's true, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Well, then perhaps you ought to verify it, I guess.
I can send you all the paperwork tomorrow, Mr. Chairman.
No, I'm not talking about the paperwork that you have in your hands today, James. I'm talking about the paperwork that was presented at the time the inspection was done.
I was not the first I've ever heard of the city electrical inspector was when we came through there. I did consult with somebody that does know electrical code, and it's my understanding that under the code, you don't have to pull a permit to work on the compressor. If there's an electronic component to that compressor, it's not like you're running wire in the building. So my understanding of the electrical code from talking to a couple of people who are familiar with it is that in that particular case, you wouldn't need it.
Well, my
information. And I will call the inspector. Yeah. My and request every permit that's ever been pulled to do work on the compressors going back as far as we can. Because I want answers too, Mr. Chairman.
Now, do you think that it is okay for the workers who were working on that piece of equipment at that time not be licensed in the state of Rhode Island?
All All of their people were licensed in the state of Rhode Island. I have a binder with all their licenses and their credentials. I can send it to you.
You have it now, but that day, that work was going on and that inspection was conducted. Was the workers in that building that were inspected, were they licensed in the state of Rhode Island?
Is my understanding that they were. I can send you a binder with all their licenses.
I understand you can send it to me. You can send me what you have now. My question is, at the time the work was going on, the workers that were there, were they licensed in the state of Rhode Island? Yes or no?
I can't answer that because I haven't seen a report from this. Now, this is a report that you've seen. It was never sent to me. I requested it. I asked the electrical inspector for it when he showed up there. I have not received anything from him.
And
so if he found something, I'm not going to call the guy a liar.
Yeah, okay.
But it's my understanding that the place is a union shop. All the people are licensed. I have all their licenses in my possession. I'm willing to share those licenses with you. I can send you an email. They're in the office. I'll scan over to you tomorrow. But I was not there at the moment that the electrical inspector walked through, nor when did I try to follow up with him from an organizational learning standpoint. Was he forthcoming with that information?
So it doesn't appear as though you know for certain that the workers that were on site that particular day, whether or not they were licensed to work in the state of Rhode Island.
The people from this company are licensed engineers. They have a binder with all their licenses. If the electrical inspector said different when he walked through, when they asked him, it would be nice if he would share that with me. He just said, I'll get the report from the state. That was his answer to me. So you're asking me to answer a question where he says he found something. He didn't provide me with that information, Mr. Lazar.
Okay.
So I mean, I'm not going to just make up an answer for you when he may have found something different from what
I'm not
was,
asking,
but I was not giving that info.
I'm not asking you to make up an answer. I'm just looking for an answer. And so then you wouldn't know if Department of Labor and Training was called, if in fact the workers that were in that building at that time were not licensed in the state of Rhode Island. You don't know if the DLT was called.
I don't know if he called the DLT or not.
Okay.
But he was not. I went over because I'm a team player, Mr. Lass. When I, I'm always trying to improve my processes. And when I went over and asked him a couple questions, I did not get. I really didn't get a lot of information out of them. Mm-hmm. So I will again request further documentation tomorrow, but I have not received anything to answer that. Mm-hmm. I hear it's hearsay. I know more from this conversation with you than I do from the city electrical inspector, which is a little bit sad, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. So you weren't there when that building was inspected?
I was not aware that there was an inspection going on. I have never met the electrical inspector before that day.
Oh, I see.
I think he was there to inspect something else because there was a replacement of a transformer that had been sitting in a puddle for a couple of years, and it was replaced with a better product that wasn't sitting in a puddle, that's more modern, that uses less energy. He was there to inspect that. And I don't know quite how we end up in the compressor room or if there's ever been an electrical inspector in the compressor room for me or any of the previous managers of the facility. I was not specifically in the facility. I do have other things under my purview outside of the arena. There's a lot of maintenance that goes on at different places. I always pop through, but I can't be at City Park and Thayer Arena and Patuxent Park and 10 other places at the same time. I do my best. Yep. I work 6 days a week. I try my best, so I can't be everywhere at once. And I think you understand that as well.
Yeah, I understand that. Certainly do. But as I said, I have some concerns with this company and how it has performed, and the fact that there's stands out there that day there were workers working there that my information has it was not, those workers weren't. Do you have the name of those two workers or three workers, whatever it was, that were in the building?
I don't have it with me right this minute, sir. And I'd love to see a copy of the report that you obviously have, because when I asked for it, I wasn't given it.
Okay. So, James, then I guess my point here is, you know, we have all these questions and you are looking to extend this increase by $40,000 for this North Star refrigeration. I have reservations about doing that until these issues here are either clarified as, you know, accurate and have been taken care of, or in fact, you know, there was no lapse in insurance that day. The workers that were there were in fact licensed in the state of Rhode Island. I have a problem with moving on this. I don't know what my colleagues on the committee feel. Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. This is all new information to us. This wasn't in our binder. I didn't know anything about this inspection. I haven't seen the report. It looks like the director hasn't seen the report as well. My question, that I think it comes down to, what would a delay of this bid do to the repairs, to the rink? Obviously, we want to make sure that the ice stays frozen, that the things keep moving. It's very, very expensive when these things break down. We want to keep up the maintenance on that. What are we looking at here? You know, if we wanted to, you know, take some additional time to get this information that we need about this company, if we're just going to extend, maybe we want to put this back out to bid. But I want to know, first off, what does it look like today? You know, what would a delay look like in terms of the ice rink?
Excuse me, Director. Councilman, that's a fair question. I have a different question. My concern is, what would it have cost the city, the taxpayers, had there been an electrical blowout on that item that they were working on? You could have been talking hundreds of thousands of dollars because of the fact that you had workers that were not licensed to work in Rhode Island.
Mr. Chairman, respectfully, the councilman asked a question. I'd like to hear the answer from the director.
Okay, fine. Go ahead.
Thank you.
So, councilman, it's a good question. The reason I'm asking for more money is that these compressors, I think when they originally bought, the price was north of $2 million. And a lot of the maintenance was, there's a big, great big manual that comes to it. I wish I had it with me. And in that manual, you're supposed to do certain maintenance at certain times. You know, there's all sorts of engines and gears and valves. Certain valves are supposed to be replaced after so many years, rebuild this such engine after so many years. And a lot of that stuff wasn't done. So I inherited all these cans kicked down the road. Basically, I'm asking for more money now because we had some emergency things that would have shut down the rink. The engine, the glycol pump, stopped working. The glycol pump is what circulates the refrigerant under the ice to keep the ice frozen. So that was about a $7,000 fix. Had we not done that, the hockey rink would not be open today. This was optional, but I felt important. We spent $8,000, have a Freon detector installed. A pallet of Freon cost $9,000. The thing has had a history of leaking Freon. So right now, if we get a Freon leak right now, my phone rings. I know what's happening. So I can get the technician there to stop it. before it becomes a problem. Before, under previous management, Freon would leak out of the machine. We're trying to avoid these things. I'm trying to get this to preventive maintenance so we can keep this hockey rink open, because it's an asset that our kids, I mean, we're closed this week, but our kids need this right now. And it's, you know, I'm trying to stay ahead of things. The triage list was huge. We had, they did maintenance a few years ago with the wrong type of oil return pipe on, which was hurting oil return, which was causing more oil changes. So summer before last, we had like oil changes probably three or four more times than you would. So you're using more oil. So these things I'm spending a couple of $1,000s on is going to save us money long-term, prolong the useful life of these machines, which if you have a catastrophic breakdown, it costs a lot more than doing the preventative maintenance. So if we don't extend this, we don't have a lot of room if we have an emergency where these compressors have shown to be, they're good units, but from my understanding is they weren't as well maintained in past years. The company in question has done a pretty good job with it. We've had less emergency calls than before. And overall, the thing seems to be functioning better with less problems. In fact, it was Chairman Lasseter that recommended this company. I put a bid in for another company. I recommend another company. And Chairman Lasseter actually picked this one because their bid price came in lower, and he'd called around them, and their reputation was pretty good from some of the other places they work. And I agree with your assessment that time. You were right on that.
So what was presented to me then that I based decisions on does not necessarily mean it's the same information that's provided to me today. So you say that you have the names of the workers that will be working on these compressors. You have copies of their Rhode Island licenses, and you have copies of their certificate of insurances, and you are going to check into the building codes, either with local or state, and find out if permits are required to do that work. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. I'll send you all that info tomorrow.
Okay. Okay. Any questions, any other questions from members of the committee? Any comments from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
Yes, Director, thank you for answering the question. So what I'm looking at this here is you're doing the maintenance, the ongoing maintenance, the preventative maintenance to make sure we keep this rink active, keep it up so people can use it and enjoy it. I think Councilman Lattiser has some concerns about the technical, not the actual work itself, but the licensing, the permits, the stuff like that as well, which I think we can work out and do as well. But I think you're on the right path of trying to stay ahead of these things. Preventative maintenance makes a big difference, so we don't have all these emergency calls, all these emergency actions and stuff like that. So I think we can definitely straighten out the paperwork aspects of this. I think that's very important to do. With keeping the goal of, keeping this, the rink open, keeping the maintenance going here. So that's the path that I'm looking at right now is that, we should extend, because we want to be able to pay the vendor, make sure that things are being looked at, but we need to straighten out this paperwork stuff. And maybe this is something that we do a shorter extension, keep the maintenance up, keep the rink active, but maybe we go back out, sooner rather than later, to get some other bids, make sure we put it specifically exactly what we're looking for. If they need permits to do that, that they need to know, they need to have that. They need to be Rhode Island, workers, or licensed to work in Rhode Island. They need to have that. If they need, the insurance, that all that is in there as well. But it seems like the work itself is getting done. It's being preventative maintenance, but they need to, we need to get some questions answered on the paperwork side of things. So I think it's kind of a two front thing. I think the most important thing right now is making sure that we're taking care of this asset. This is a city asset that a number of residents and people across the state enjoy. These are very expensive pieces of equipment, very technical. We need this maintenance to be done and continuing. Because like you said, we don't want to just keep kicking the can down the road and then all of a sudden, you know, a fix that would have been $5,000 is now $100,000. So that's how the path that I'm thinking of right now is, yes, we need to find out about this report. We need to clear up this paperwork and stuff like that. But we got to make sure that the maintenance continues and keep the rink available to the residents of Warwick. Thank you.
Councilman McAllister, this is, we're not talking about, paperwork, just paperwork. And as far as contractors go, as you know, I'm a contractor. As you also know, I've been the chair / vice chair of the Contractors Registration and Licensing Board for 23 years. And one of the biggest problems that occur with contractors is contractors who are working without registrations, without licenses, without proper insurances. And when they make mistakes and they're working on equipment such as this, which is a $2 million piece of equipment, and there is no insurance in place, there is no proper licenses in place, try and collect from the insurance company. It's difficult enough to collect from the insurance company when everything is correct and in place. So this is not just simply a paperwork issue. And Director, we keep talking about, we got to keep this ice rink going. We got to keep it going. It's this, it's that. Is this ice rink open now?
The ice rink is closed this week per the governor's order. There's a expectation that they're probably going to open up next week. They wanted a week to close the rinks out and get ahead of the COVID issue, but I expect to be open next week. And the both sheets are frozen, both compressors are working, and we're ready. You know, we're ready for the hockey players and figure skaters to come back in that use in large numbers.
Good, good. Was the ice rink open last week?
Yes, it was very busy last week.
Okay, good.
We were open under COVID modifications where we worked with our stakeholders, but it was a limit on parents, basically the one parent for 8 and under, and then older kids, no parents. Mm-hmm. So they have to wait outside.
Okay. So, going forward, I'll be anxious to receive that information that you have tomorrow. Just to all directors, particularly involving vendors, the city has to be sure that we are acquiring the proper insurance certificates. The city of Warwick should be named as a certificate holder, should also be named as an additional named insured. And if that's the case, there is a reasonably good chance, there's a very good chance that the city will be notified if that contractor's insurance lapses or expires. There's a very good chance that if the city is named a certificate holder in an additional named insured, that you will receive that notification. James, I agree with you. It's difficult for one person to be every place. And it's difficult for one purchasing agent to oversee hundreds, if not thousands of bids and contracts, et cetera, that come in. So the department heads may want to take a look at what they're getting with these certificates of insurance as opposed to just a generic insurance. All right. I look forward to getting that information tomorrow, James. Thank you. Hearing that, I need a motion.
Do we ask the rest of the council and the public if they have questions?
Any questions from members? I went through all that. I asked all you guys first. I asked the members of the public first. Members of the public had nothing to say. Members of the council had no questions. So I need a motion.
I move favorable action.
Okay, we have a motion.
Seconded.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Next item, 2021-132A, purchase of various ties, found on page 15. Hi, Christy.
Hi, good evening. Public Works is requesting to award this bid in the amount of $100,000 for the purchase of tires to Sullivan Tire for a one-year period, January 1st, 2021 to December 31st, 2021.
Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. I believe, just pulling up here on my computer. One of the things that you point out in the thing is that Sullivan Tire here is in Warwick. And these are tires that we're gonna use for most departments, including the fire department, whereas there was a lower bidder, but they were the vendor in Ohio. So the tires would need to be shipped here. So when we're looking at total bid, total everything included, that technically that they may have been a lower bidder, but the fact that they're in Ohio, the fact of the time delay trying to get them here, that adds up, would make them no longer the lowest qualified bidder. Is that correct, Christy?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. And Sullivan Tire, they're Warwick, correct?
They are in Warwick, yes.
They are in Warwick. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. So, Christy, Councilman McAllister brings up a good point. So, if this bid were to be awarded to Goodyear Tire out of Akron, Ohio, and we order tires, do they charge us any shipping charges?
Were any shipping charges indicated in the bid package that they submitted? However, it's a little bit weird because the pricing that Sullivan also gave us, which is pretty much dollar for dollar to Goodyear, because they get their pricing from Goodyear. So I'm not sure why Goodyear is competing with one of their local distributors, but for us, it doesn't make sense because then we still need someone to install the tires. So we can't have a delay, particularly when we have a piece of public safety equipment down or even a garbage truck. Sullivan stocks the tires that we need. And or if not, they get them, you know, either the same day or next day. So their service has been spot on for us.
Christy, does anyone review the numbers in these bids? I mean, does anyone in your department, whether it be you or someone else, does anyone take a look at these bids and do the math and review the numbers for the pricing?
Yes.
So would it surprise you to know, or for me to say that on Sullivan Tire's bid, their tires from 1 through 9, every single one of their prices are wrong, according to my math? I mean, I could be wrong, but when I take a 60% discount off of $1,594.21, I don't come up with $625. And my concern is, will we be invoiced for what they show as a list price, or are we going to be invoiced for what that net cost is of that tire when you take the 60% discount?
And we're invoiced for the net price off. So whatever the tire price is.
Okay. They take the 60% off, and that's going to be invoiced.
Correct.
Okay. So on the first tire, $1,594.21, it's a 60% discount. Sullivan Tire is showing the net price at $625. When I take a 60% discount off of $1,594, I come up with $637.68. Does anyone have a calculator and just check my math? $1,594.21, you can do it either less 60 or times 40. I do times 40. It brings me out to $637.68. On tire two, $198.48, 48% off the list, $102.50. I come up with $103.20. I realize that's only a buck, but my point is every one of their prices is wrong. Go down to item number seven, $1,048.99, 60% off. They have a price of $325. My math says it's $419.60.
I'm wondering if there was a decimal point when they did the calculation that they didn't, like,
it had to be more than a decimal point. It had to be, there's something completely with every single one. It's not a decimal point.
Regardless of right or wrong, the net price that we would pay is what, for those very specific tires, is what is in the bid. So when I get a bill from Sullivan Tire for that number one, if it comes in more than $625, I kick it back to them and say, you need to fix it.
Okay, so I just started running some of these numbers actually a couple hours ago, to be very honest with you. And on Goodyear, every single one of their numbers is exactly correct. Every one of the numbers on Sullivan Tire is wrong. And I just want to be sure, I want it on the record tonight, that we don't care about whether that 60% discount is right or wrong. And we don't care if the math is right or wrong. All we're paying is the net price of those tires that is shown on this bid. Is that accurate?
Yes, but like I said, because Sullivan gets their prices from Goodyear for us as a municipality, if Sullivan had put in the 60.8% off on like tire one, it would come out to be exactly the same as what Goodyear offers. So that's what I'm thinking. Maybe their percentages didn't translate correctly when they entered them.
I couldn't tell you. I'm going by an invoice. I know when I get an invoice, we check every single invoice that comes in the door. We run the math on it and make sure that the price we're going to pay is right. Because if it's not, it comes out of my pocket. It doesn't come out of anybody else's in this company. It comes out of my pocket.
No, I understand. I'm just...
It's concerning to me that every single one of those prices is wrong. Every single one of them. So if it was a decimal point wrong on, I don't know where the 60.8 is that came up. I mean, you're changing a multiplier from a 40 to a 42. But on Goodyear's bid, Goodyear has 61.70. That's a lot more complicated to do that discount than 60. And this number of 405 is exactly right. But what's interesting is 405 is a whole lot cheaper than Sullivan Tire's price at, with the correct math, at 423. So again, that's fine. They got the math all wrong. They don't do their math correctly. My concern is that when the bill comes in, all the taxpayers are paying is what is shown on this bid, and that someone in DPW is doing an analysis and a check of every invoice that comes in and comparing it to this net price to make sure that is what we're in fact paying.
We do that with every invoice that comes, regardless of the vendor.
Okay. Just bear with me here. I just want to make a couple notes. Okay. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion on 2021-132A.
Move favorable action.
Second it.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Aye.
Thank you, Christy. Item 2021-132 found on page 20.
Good evening, Lori Michaelides on behalf of the police department. In September, the police department went out to bid for tires. Three bids were received. We recommend the contract be awarded to Sullivan Tire from Jefferson Boulevard, this city, as the lowest overall bidder. Our police vehicles are rated for pursuit driving and come equipped with Goodyear tires. The Ford Motor Company recommends Goodyear replacement tires. If approved, the funding not to exceed $30,000 would come from budget code 30-211 tires.
Thank you, Major. Major, for the last 8 years that I've been on the council, we've always had discussions with your predecessors, and also you and I have had this discussion in the past about the Goodyear police rated pursuit tires. And you indicated this again this evening that the tires that you are purchasing will be in fact Goodyear police rated pursuit tires. Okay. And I'm asking that because, again, I want that on the record, because in this bid, actually both Sullivan and Goodyear, they say Goodyear brand or equivalent. My understanding, or do I understand it correctly, that the only tires that the police department will be accepting for the prices that are shown here are the Goodyear police rated pursuit tires, not an equivalent?
That's correct. The equivalent, okay. That wording should not be in our bid specs, but that will be rectified next time.
Right. That's my point. The same thing. So Major, the net pricing, the math on this, is that done by your department, or is DPW, basically they handle all the pricing and stuff?
I believe purchasing actually compiles everything.
Okay. Because the same errors in bids in the math occur on yours, not as much as the one from DPW. DPW, all nine tires were priced incorrectly. Yours, there's one, two, three, four, there's five of them that I went through. And then quite honestly, I just got tired of doing the math and didn't bother with it anymore. So, you know, again, I think that there should be a discussion amongst the parties with these discrepancies in the numbers, because I don't think it's healthy to for us to approve something that says one thing, but when you do the math, it proves out to be something else. So whoever is responsible for that, be it purchasing or whomever, I think a discussion needs to be had about making sure that someone is double checking and doing the math in these numbers. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Are there any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Second it.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Major. Item 4, 2021-134, heating oil, found on page 25.
Public Works is requesting to award this bid to Roberts Energy in the amount of $15,000 for the purchase of heating oil for 1 year, January 15th, 2021 to January 14th, 2022.
Thank you, Christy. Any questions from members of the committee? We have any questions from members of the council? Are there any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christy. Item 2021-159, police personnel uniforms, found on page 28.
In September, the city went out to bid for police department uniforms. We received only one bid. As such, I am recommending this bid be awarded to Barney's Uniforms out of Cranston, Rhode Island. If approved, funding for this contract not to exceed $50,000 would come from our budget code 30-260, uniforms and miscellaneous equipment.
Major, I know we have this discussion also as well as why, you know, with, I think this is a pretty healthy bid of $50,000, a nice contract, why only one person bids on it. And I think it has something to do with the specifics of your uniform, et cetera. Could you just explain that for us again, please?
Sure. Matter of fact, last time we went out to bid, we actually had an issue with an off-brand being included in the bid specs, which that we ran into some problems with that. So we corrected that issue for this time around. But we use very specific brands, Flying Cross, Blauer. Obviously, we want our shirt and pants to match. I mean, it's very important that we have, everything coordinating correctly. Some vendors don't like to go with those two types of brands or manufacturers, or are unable to custom tailor, which is another thing that we allow. Barney's is right down the road. They offer both of those brands and do the custom tailoring.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay. Moving on. The acceptance of the minutes for the meeting held on October 19th. Councilman Howe, make a motion.
Where are you right now?
Yeah, we got a lot of bids going, Mr. Chairman.
You have more bids. Sorry.
Did I miss some?
You did.
Oh, you know what?
Page 3.
Sorry, because I didn't get them printed out here.
That would not be my fault.
No, it would not.
Just want to clarify. Sorry, you have it, correct?
I have items 1 through 10. Yes. Okay. Sorry. You're right.
Right. That's right. You're on 6.
Please. Thanks for that, Councilman Howe. I appreciate that help. Item number 6, 2021, motor oil, hydraulic and transmission fluid, memory fluid, etc. Found on page 45.
Public Works is requesting to award this bid to two vendors by item as indicated for the purchase of automotive fluids and DEF in the amount of $41,000 for a 1-year period, December 11th, 2020 to December 10th, 2021.
And Christy, just tell us why you're requesting two vendors on this, please.
These vendors were the lowest qualified bidders for the items as indicated for the specific product, Safety Clean and Ocean State Oil.
Okay, and does one vendor carry all of the products?
They all carry all of the product. Well, the most part, they all carry all of the products. However, when it comes to these, we pay by, well, most of them we buy by the drum. Some of them are in a pound, some of them are in buckets. The DEF is a bulk delivery. So this bid in particular is more cost effective for us to award by the vendor, by the lowest qualified bidder, than to just blanket one vendor.
Just as a point of clarification, I was making light, a little humor, a little soft touch when I said memory fluid.
I caught that.
Because I forgot the other page. Okay. Any other question? No, Councilman McAllister's got it now. He's got it. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion, Councilman McAllister.
I'll move favorable action on that dad joke. I can start making those now, I guess.
Yeah, if you don't get all the right slips, see what happens to your memory. Councilman Howe, you got a second?
Seconded on both items, yes.
We have a second. all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's move on to item 7, 2021-165B, motor oil, hydraulic, transmission fluids, found on page 50.
The police department also went out to bid for motor oil and transmission fluid. 4 vendors submitted bids. We are recommending the bid be awarded to Total Energy, LLC, doing business as Ocean State Oil out of North Kingstown.
Thank you, Major. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
I move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion, we have a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Major. Item number 8, 2021-165C, motor oil, hydraulic fluids, et cetera, found on page 55.
Good evening, Jason Omenhauer for the fire department. We're also under this bid 2021-165. The department is recommending for item number 17 only, the 2.5 gallon containers of DEF fluid, Total Energy be awarded the bid for an amount not to exceed $1,500.
Okay, any questions from members of the committee? Do we have any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
I move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion, we have a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Chief. Item 9, 2021-197, additional vendors, police personnel uniforms, found on page 60.
This is actually a continuation of our other uniform bid. Barney's only bid on 53 items. Our specs actually include 94 items. So the additional 41 items that we don't have a bid on, we're requesting we be allowed to use various vendors for those items. Those purchases will only include required items defined by the CBA and within policy. When we purchase these items, we'll get three quotes from various vendors and we'll go with the lowest quote. As an example, the 53 items that Barney's bid on was our standard uniform, our honor guard uniform, and our recruit uniforms, which of course are the most popular items we buy. These 41 items are things that we do not buy on that frequent a basis. So they're the ACO uniforms, the jailer's uniform. We don't buy those items frequently. Those only come about when transfers happen, and then we purchase as needed. So if approved, we're seeking funding not to exceed $8,000 to come from budget code 30-260.
Thank you, Major. Seems pretty straightforward to me. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? If not, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
We have seconded. Motion. We have
a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Major.
Thank you.
Item number 10, 2021-196. Found on page 62, State of Rhode Island Public Safety Communications.
This is a 5610 request to piggyback the State of Rhode Island bid for public safety communications equipment from Motorola Solutions. We're looking to award this contract to Motorola Solutions Incorporated. Purchases will be made from our communications budget, $35,270, with a spending limit not to exceed $32,000. This will replace aging radio equipment in both our fire alarm dispatch center and mobile and portable radios used by our apparatus and our personnel. The contract period will be consistent with that state MPA 395, which expires 6/30 of 21.
Major, how old are is that equipment that you're looking to replace? I'm sorry, Chief, sorry. Sorry.
Most of the radio equipment we have now on the trucks or the portables and mobiles are from our last FEMA grant, which memory serves me right, was 2012, I believe that was purchased. The equipment at our dispatch center at Fire Alarm up on Sandy Lane dates back to previously to 2010. I'd say more like 2005. Some of that radio equipment is that we need to replace.
What's the normal life expectancy on that equipment, given, you know, the amount of use that it gets?
Most of it has to do with the technology changes. It's more like a computer. Most of it's computers for the most part now, a ruggedized computer. So it's before it actually becomes not useful as far as functionality, it ages and it doesn't incorporate with our technology anymore. So we, our radio is piggybacked on a state system, a statewide trunk radio system. And we have to keep current with their standards and their changes so that we can continue to operate on their band.
So I guess basically it's oftentimes it's equipment that simply becomes outdated with technology as opposed to worn out, doesn't work anymore. It's just simply outdated.
Yeah, that's correct. We put in for a FEMA grant this year to replace all of that equipment. We unfortunately didn't get awarded that this year. We're hoping to put that in again next year. And just the fact that we're able to, the FEMA allows us to put in for replacement of that equipment is proof that this equipment's already antiquated to the point where they'll allow replacement as a grant.
Right. Good. Good. What was the grant that you received last time for this? How much was it? Roughly.
Now you're testing me. I would guess in the area, I'm going to take a wild guess if I did. So I can get that information to you. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's fine. I was just curious. Not a big whoop-de-doo. Okay. Thanks, Chief. Understand that. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, need a motion?
Move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So make sure that, yep, I've gone through all those pages on that one this time. All right, now we'll move on. A motion on those minutes again, please.
Move favorable action.
We have a motion. I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Yeah, aye. We have two yeas, one abstain. Thank you, Councilman. PCR 100-20, a resolution relative to abatements.
Point of clarification, I believe that's 101-20.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. The PCR for the whole package was 120. Your item, PCR 101-20. Thank you, Neil.
No worries. So this month we have abatements in the amount of $7,593.03. Every abatement this month is actually due to a new exemption application. So I'll answer any questions that you might have.
Okay. Seems pretty clear to me. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
We have
seconded.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it, thank you. Item number three, PCO 29-19, an ordinance relative to tangible property tax regarding vacant storefronts. Councilman Sinapi for first passage.
Can you hear me?
We can.
All right, so this is a legislation that came in large part thanks to Councilman Ricks's Tax Relief Commission. The only reason why we didn't want to wait for the final report is because this is too great an opportunity to kind of sit on, especially in a time of COVID, and there's no real reason to. The administration helped a great deal, Neil especially. Yeah, Neil mainly, he carried the load for us big time on this one. This is basically just giving us the ability from the General Assembly to work on this on the city side. So passing this doesn't actually bind us in any way as far as the details of how we'll go about doing this. But the long and the short of it is that everyone knows we have a large amount of commercial property that is unutilized in Warwick, far too much. I mean, you just have to drive by the airport and you can see it. But I have some in my ward. I know so everybody has some in their ward, one property here or there where the owner, for whatever reason, decides to sit on it for years at times at the detriment to the neighborhood around them and to the city as a whole. So this seeks to address that basically by incentivizing development or for the developer to sell it off and helping in a way that doesn't actually hurt the city, because it'll be a kind of incentive that doesn't come out of our pockets. In fact, instead of getting $0 in tangible tax, which is what you get on unused property, we'll get some dollars. You just won't get the 100%. And as far as where we pick in that number in between will be based on the legislation we would do afterwards. After the General Assembly passes this, we'd have to decide by ordinance the fine details for how we want to work this. So this is pretty much just the introduction. and Neil could probably put a much finer point on this, but that's the long and the short of it.
Yeah, well, one more quick comment, just to clarify. We base the real estate value in part on commercial properties on the occupancy level. So increasing the amount of tenants that are in these buildings and the lease amounts that they're paying will actually bring in more real estate revenue that we're otherwise not going to receive. So it's a win-win.
I just need some clarification on this. Perhaps it is okay, but this is a PCO, and in the title it says resolution relative to seeking legislation. Should this should this be listed as a resolution or an ordinance?
Oh, actually, Councilman Lattice, you're right. This was supposed to get fixed on the floor, and Bill might know exactly how we were supposed to do it. I'm not sure if it was relayed to him.
I was going to raise the same question, Mr. Chairman and members of the council and the committee. This is a resolution requesting authorization. It's an intergovernmental aspect. It's not something that would be codified in the code. At the appropriate time, we could take a motion just to redesignate it as a resolution, assign it a PCR rather than the PCO that it currently has, and then it is a one passage item as it's just a resolution requesting something.
Yes, thank you, Councilman Lattice. I completely slipped my mind. Good catch.
Sure. So I'm not quite clear what the intent is. It says a resolution relative to seeking legislative approval to exempt certain tangible personal property taxes within the city of Warwick. I've read through this and, you know, I still am not clear on it. I'm not a lawyer, but I am not getting clear on this. Why do we need to go to the General Assembly for anything with this when there is really nothing specific for them to look at? I mean, what are they going to look at? I mean, what is it that you're looking to exempt? What percentages, what dollars, et cetera, et cetera? Why do we need to go to the General Assembly with this as opposed to, perhaps forming a study commission to put together the ABCs of what it is? And I'm not disputing the need to do it, by the way. I'm not clear as to what are we going to send to the General Assembly? What is there for them to approve? I don't see anything here of substance that says we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to exempt this, we want this percentage, we want that percentage. I'm not clear on that.
Neil, do you want to do that?